Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Daily Wire CEO, Caleb Robinson, just stepped down, and we just got the first interview for their new CEO, Mike Richards. He talks about the mass layoffs, the supposed drop in Ben Shapiro's viewership, and why Caleb Robinson left, and much more. We're going to break down the whole interview. Stick around to the end as well, because James Tallarico is being exposed as an insane wolf in sheep's clothing for Christians by The Daily Wire, and we show you some of those shocking clips that they've uncovered. So Mike Richards was just named the new Daily Wire CEO, and he went on The Hollywood Reporter to answer some questions about it. And credit to the interviewer, because they actually asked some very spicy questions, pretty much all the things that you and I have been wanting to know about. And I want to start with this one, because it's gotten a lot of press. They asked, let's talk about Ben. He's been under a lot of heat. What can you tell me about what's actually happening with his audience? Richards responded, he's up 7% year over year across all platforms. All the reporting, all the sniping, as someone who lives in the numbers, because it's my job, we don't even understand it. Some of the numbers are not as public as the other numbers. When I'm looking at the numbers, I'm looking at how many people are listening on our own platform. It's a big number. I'm looking at Spotify, Spotify Video, RSS, and YouTube. The per episode numbers are right where they have been. Is it what it was in 2024? The most consequential circus election in the history of the world, never to be repeated again, I hope. No. But across all platforms, which is what our business model is, that's what makes us unique and so badass. We don't just have to click farm to succeed. He can drive hundreds of thousands of subscribers to our platform. I'll give you an example. He did a really good, pretty aggressive monologue last Friday. We talked about it. It doubled our daily subscriptions that day and sold lifetime memberships, which are expensive without any call to action, and 6 million views on X. So I want to pause there for a second. There you have it. Ben's numbers are not going down, as we've talked about on the show before. And before I show you more of this interview, I thought I would peel back the curtain just a little bit more on my own operations and share some things with you. Because what Mike Richards shares here are things that I've been observing about The Daily Wire for a long time. When I started my company, it's called Car Media Company, that's the legal entity for it. I started it 3 years ago. I knew that I was never going to be as big as The Daily Wire. In fact, I know I don't want to be as big as them, to be honest. And as we'll talk about in a second, it's because it's incredibly stressful and comes with a good deal of financial risk for them. But one thing I did do is I looked at The Daily Wire and I adopted some of their business strategies. And this is actually something I talked about with Jeremy Boring on his podcast when I went on it. But what Mike Richards is talking about in this question about Ben is a concept of maximizing private views, things that people can't see, such as their private subscriptions or things like Facebook revenue, and also maximizing profit without the click farming. Essentially, what The Daily Wire has is a way to make more money with less views. They're not trying to be as famous as possible. They're trying to be a profitable company. And the reason why that's so important is it helps you stay intellectually grounded. Because if you can run your business better than Megyn Kelly, for example, you don't have to do whatever it takes to get the clicks. Megyn Kelly, all she talks about is clicks, clicks, views, views. But if you have a full business infrastructure working in the background to maximize the audience that you already have, this is a philosophy that works out in the long run for being consistent. It's a philosophy I've adopted in my own company, obviously to a much smaller scale. He continued talking about Ben. He was asked, what do you make of the shift toward what Shapiro calls the woke right, the Carlson, Owens, Fuentes axis leaning into anti-Semitism and conspiracy theories? Is it moving your audience? He said, I don't think our audience is necessarily shifting away. There are certain people who are going to go with different conspiracy theories and different ideas about what conservatism should be. The key to The Daily Wire as an institution is that we are consistent with what we believe conservatism is, even if it costs us audience. Again, the reason why is because they actually have a business model that allows them to do that. They don't actually need maximizing the clicks. They've already maximized the back end of their business. He said, we're going to stay consistent because in the end, people will come right back around and go, oh, wait, they really are conservative. They didn't just chase clicks. It's also important to point out that it's not just Ben's voice. We've got 12 shows here and everyone has different opinions. That is the great part about this place. We have debates in the kitchen at lunch and then we all get along afterwards. The way this has gone with other people is they've made it much more personal and aggressive, and it's unnecessary. This is, guys, the beauty of having a business model that isn't dependent solely on clicks. Candace Owens, Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson a little bit less. I will admit he is a little bit more back end. But especially Megan Kelly and Candace Owens are solely dependent on clicks. And you can obviously see it in their reporting and their commentary. It is the reason why the Daily Wire, though imperfect at times, has been the best in the conservative movement, in my opinion, at being consistent. Mike Richards was next asked about the layoffs. A lot of people have had questions about this. He gave a very candid answer, I thought, which is really nice. I mean, this is kind of the beauty of being a new CEO is you can just kind of start fresh and tell everybody everything. He said, let's address the layoffs directly. Candace Owens said 50%, then revised it upward to 60. What was the actual number? He said, she was doing that new math, which is why we really have to fix the public school system. The number was 13%, which is just under the 65% that was reported. Listen, layoffs are always bad. Those are some of my friends, people I love working with, but we had been expanding heavily in editorial and adding new talent, so we needed to reallocate. 3 years ago, there were 8 or 9 shows shooting almost daily in our studio. Most of our hosts now shoot remotely. Matt Walsh is in an undisclosed location. Isabel Brown is in DC. Andrew Clavin is in DC. Ben is in Florida. A lot of the staff we unfortunately lost was from production because we simply don't shoot as many shows here in our Nashville headquarters. We've launched a new daily new show, Wired In Live, that shoots here, and we have the Michael Knowles show here, and that's it. The contraction was us refocusing on the things we know we need to do to be the preeminent new media institution in the country. And then he was asked, are you still hiring? He said, we'll add where we need to add. We've expanded our social team from 3 to 14. We've got another major talent about to front premium content, a big, big name, and I think an unexpected name. And we've signed a new person in the conservative universe who will start in 2027. We are not shrinking away. We are expanding. Shrinking is not always a bad thing. This is what I was trying to explain. People are talking about the layoffs. Obviously, if it was 65%, like Candace Owens lied about, that would be one thing. But I know a lot of people who don't want to hear this, but AI is making a lot of these layoffs inevitable, at least in the short term, and especially in the media industry. I can guarantee that when the Daily Wire laid off 13% of their workforce, they did not lose any production. I know that's tough to hear. Maybe that will make people hate AI more, but that's the reality. Again, context for my business, I do the work of probably 1 to 2 producers with AI now instead of hiring that out. So in a massive company like the Daily Wire, that's going to have some big effects. It's also true, by the way, that podcast studios are increasingly requiring less. People don't need massive productions to enjoy podcasts. If you look at people like Joe Rogan, for example, he does not have a large team. And his studio is quite conservative. It's really not very large. And it's because people just enjoy authenticity. And so that means people can do these things from their homes. And when you do it from your home, you don't have lunch coordinators or janitorial staff or, you know, more HR, for example. And so that's going to cut down your labor quite a bit. Finally, guys, Richards was asked about Caleb Robinson stepping away. And this is interesting, right? Because Jeremy Boring stepped away a little over a year ago. Caleb Robinson has always been kind of co-CEO, but he's only been there for a year by himself. And so for him to step out was kind of interesting. If you didn't know, Caleb has been there since the beginning with Jeremy Boring and Ben Shapiro. And Caleb released this kind of cryptic message when he resigned. A lot of people were very confused. He said, stepping down as CEO of Daily Wire, effective immediately, my new title is guy on the board who still owns a lot of the company. Pay cut and stress, raising the important things. Handing the keys to Mike Richards, no, not that Mike Richards, yes, that Mike Richards, 5 times Emmy winner, Hollywood expat, eats, sleeps, and drinks content, never makes a deal unless The Price is Right. That's a reference because he was a producer on The Price is Right. Built something special here over a decade. We're the largest and most impactful digital media company for people who love this amazing country. And now we make it even bigger. Thanks to our audience of millions. Yes, millions. Kind of just out of nowhere. No reason, really. But Mike Richards gives us a reason. They asked if he knew that this was going to happen. And he said, not anyone in the building knew. He said, Caleb had been working with the board for a month and talking about how things would go and what that would look like. A lot of it was him wanting to make sure we had a great management team in place. He felt very confident in me, in our CFO, in our CMO, and the rest of the management team. I didn't know that's where he was heading, but it had been in process for some time, I was told. They asked, did he say why? And Mike Richards gave the reason why. Yes, he has been doing this for 11 years. It's a stressful job. It is a 24-hour-a-day job. He has many, many children and wanted to spend time with them. He's still on the board. He still owns a huge chunk of the company. He's still going to be very active. A lot of people say that when they're stepping down, and then it's like, see you never. I was actually texting him this morning about something we're working on. He's just taking a less stressful version of what he's doing. So Caleb seems to be involved still. Again, I think this change out is a very good thing for a company, partly because 11 years is a very long time for a company to have the same leadership, and it's good to actually get some churning there, get some fresh faces. But I also think it's good because it shows people in charge of this company are real. This is a real company. People who are CEOs of large companies for 40 years are kind of freaks. Like Elon Musk, I like Elon Musk, but he's a freak. They don't spend time with their kids. They don't serve in their community. They do great things in the private sphere, but they're just machines. And I don't think that's who we need leading one of the largest institutions in the conservative movement. I think it's good to see that one of the most important conservative institutions in the U.S. is run by normal people. I wish Mike Richards all the best. I hope they can double and then triple in size like they've already done many times before. Really quick, y'all, I wanted to invite you to become a member of the Josh Carr Show. When you become a member, you get your comments right at the top. I answer every single one. I'm able to see all the questions that you have. You get access to exclusive videos, exclusive Q&As, and I've got some exciting guests coming on the show. I will be putting, for members only, a place where you can ask them questions, and I will have them answer it live to you. It's very exciting. It's coming up soon. I'm very excited. It's only $1.99 to join. It's a way to support me, but I'm not a communist. It's a give and take, right? So if you want to support my channel and get some great perks, go check it out right now. I put a link at the description below. So James Tallarico is the new Democrat nominee for the Texas Senate, and the Daily Wire has recently come out with some shocking findings on just how nuts this guy is. And just to set the stage for how radical he is, here is a video of how he is actively changing the teachings of the Bible to fit his leftist campaign.
So this idea that to be a Christian means you have to be anti-gay and anti-abortion, there really is no historical, theological, biblical basis for that opinion. But there are interpretations of certain passages from the Torah where some folks will even say that there is there is some subtle instructions for how to perform an abortion in the ancient world, certain things to drink, things like that.
Before we go further, I want to acknowledge that our trans community needs abortion care too. Defending trans Texans is something we have to do every day at the state capitol. And you better believe I'll be giving sermons on that too.
I want us all to be aware of is that modern science obviously recognizes that there are many more than two biological sexes. In fact, there are six.
There are six now, apparently. According to James Tallarico, God is non-binary as well. Here is CNN pressing Tallarico on that.
National Republican Senate Committee is already highlighting comments that you've made as a state representative. For example, they're highlighting this.
God is both masculine and feminine and everything in between. God is non-binary.
What is your response to them using that and explain what you were talking about?
Well, I understand that comment is a little provocative. I said it on the House floor when the extremists in the Republican legislature were picking on school kids who were different. But I don't think it's controversial theologically. Most Christians would acknowledge that God is beyond gender. In fact, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, said that in Christ, there is neither male nor female. And so if someone's got a problem with that statement, they shouldn't take it up with me. They should take it up with the Apostle Paul.
That is complete blasphemy. The Apostle Paul not saying that Christ is neither male or female. He is saying that Christ accepts everybody. Does not matter if you're male and female. Ironically, Paul is literally telling us there are only two genders, not six. He doesn't say male, female, and anybody else. He says male and female. Now, before I get to the Daily Wire's article, I just want to say, as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, this doctrine that James is teaching here could not be more blasphemous and offensive. We believe in my church that God is capital M man. Jesus is called the Son of Man. God is called our Father. There are no non-binary fathers. Father is a gendered title. It's not nebulous. Oh, we don't know what that is. We know what a father is. We know what a mother is. He's not called Heavenly Mother. He's called Heavenly Father. God is our Father. Father is a gender title. Jesus Christ is both fully man and fully God. This is a foundational doctrine in our church. I know there's a lot of members of my church in Texas. I am just pleading with you. Do not be coerced or convinced by this man who likes to, I mean, he literally is the serpent in the garden. He likes to come with a silver tongue. He's very well spoken. He acts very kind at times. This is not a Christ-like man. This is an antichrist. Now, the Daily Wire shows us how deep this antichrist movement has gotten in Texas. They have an article that just came out. You can see it right here, entitled, God is Queer. See the sexually explicit books James Tallarico's church gives kids. And I'm going to read you some of it. It's pretty shocking. This is, again, his church in Austin. And it's very sad. And I'm going to have to censor some things myself. You'll see it on screen, but YouTube doesn't like some of these things. And so I'm going to have to speak a little bit like a child. I apologize. We've got no problem saying these things, but YouTube won't let me. It starts like this. It says, Tallarico, the Democrat nominee for the crucial Senate election in November, attends St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Austin. I just have to say, if you're a Presbyterian, guys, no hate against you at all, but you got to fix this. I mean, not unacceptable, right? If you're a Presbyterian, comment down below. Tell me what is happening in the church and how you're fixing it, because I hope you do. Their children have access to a library stocked with, quote, banned books that promote ideas rejected by most Christians, including books that contain descriptions of something I can't say, it's on screen, incest, oral sex, according to the Daily Wire review of its offerings. Books found in the St. Andrew's catalog include the book Gender Queer, which includes illustrations of oral sex, masturbation, and the book of, quote, All Boys Aren't Blue, which discusses something I can't say on camera, and incest. This book is gay, has a chapter on the ins and outs of gay sex, while the book's Becoming Nicole tells the story of a gendered, confused teen boy who identifies as a girl with the support of his family. In the quote, Courage to Be Queer, the author claims that God is queer. They continue. Other books in the church catalog include This Book is Gay, Trans Kids Are Kids, Stories and Resources from the Front Lines of the Movement for Transgender Youth, Called Out, The Voices and Gifts of Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgendered Presbyterians, The Courage to Be Queer, and Becoming Nicole, The Transformation of an American Family. Tallarico, looking to flip a Senate seat in a state President Trump won by 14 points in 2024, has faced criticism over comments he made on transgender ideology. It will likely be a central theme in the campaign against him. In his first speech as the official Republican nominee on Tuesday night, Republican Ken Paxton referred to Tallarico as both Six-Gender Jimmy and James Talafrico, both very accurate. Ken Paxton actually released an amazing ad this week against Tallarico. Let me know in the comments below how you think this is going to play with Texans.
This is Texas. This is not.
There are many more than two biological sexes. In fact, there are six.
This is Texas. This is not.
The American flag is such a complicated symbol for most of us.
This is Texas. This is not.
They're going to call me a radical leftist.
This is Texas. This is not.
Something that you love that's not family or friends.
I love, and just say this because it's on my mind, the trans children.
This is Texas. This is not.
Our southern border should be like our front porch. There should be a giant welcome mat out front.
This is Texas. This is not.
It is now existential that we try to reduce our meat consumption. I am proud to say that our campaign has officially become a non-meat campaign.
This is Texas. This is not.
I thought that ad was very good. I can't imagine someone being less Texan than Tallarico. And again, I used to live in Texas, so I'm not saying I'm full Texan, but I think people are going to reject that. Here's what the polls look like right now. You can see Polymarket, or rather this is Kalshi, same myth really, but you know, Kalshi, I guess, has Ken Paxton at a 60% chance to win, 40% for James Tallarico. Honestly, don't love those numbers. And Democrats are gleeful because this poll just came out. It's a lean left poll. I do not think it's accurate, but it has Tallarico at 45% to Paxton at 38%. Now, maybe that's not accurate. Maybe you look at that and think, there's just no way. That can't possibly be real. Maybe, but maybe it is accurate. And if I'm a Republican in Texas, I'm just going to assume it's accurate. And I'm going to show up to the polls. I mean, nobody can assume that Tallarico is going to lose. Everybody needs to show up. The only reason Tallarico is doing well as he is doing is because he is moderating, obviously. This is what radical Democrats do. For as radical as he still is, here he was in 2020, just to show you what I mean by him moderating. He said, White skin gives me and every white American immunity from the virus, but we spread it wherever we go. Through our words, our actions, and our systems, we don't have to be showing symptoms like a white hood or a Confederate flag to be contagious. The only cure to diagnosing the virus within ourselves and taking dramatic actions to containing the spread, the first small step is proclaiming loudly and unequivocally that Black Lives Matter. It's not just the gender stuff, it's the racial stuff. He hates white people, he hates himself. Again, this is just a few weeks before George Floyd. He was likening the coronavirus to being white. This guy is insane. I pray the good people of Texas will destroy him in November. If you live in Texas, go out, get him out. If you guys enjoyed this video, stick around with me just a little bit longer with some more commentary and news. You can watch another video right here.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No